Welcome to The Ether. Today is Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. Today on The Ether, will UST survive? Hosted by DeFi Yield App. Let's take a listen.
You trust something that uses Ethereum as a settlement layer for is like a component of security that you also take into the decision making. Meanwhile, like deciding which chain to bridge and
So, I mean, the first easiest piece to sort of consider is whether it's EVM compatible. That's a big piece for developers. If it's not, we have to worry about, do they provide transpiling and stuff like that? We would have to recode everything if they don't provide these services, which is a huge amount of work on our end. So the easiest, lowest hanging fruit is first the EVM compatible ones. But really, I mean, we'll go wherever the users are. It's not about us picking and choosing the winners and losers. We can just observe where people are using DeFi and whatnot and just go to where they are.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like we also had Mikhail joining us as a speaker. Maybe you have some question for Exonaut or in general.
Yes. Hi, guys. I was just wondering if someone can explain why the UST pack cannot recover to $1, because I mean it's an algo stablecoin and basically there should be an arbitrage opportunity there, so people who are interested in this could buy UST and sell Luna, and basically that's the whole idea behind UST. So I'm just wondering why it's not possible to regain pack with that functionality.
So it is possible. However, the arbitrage of UST Luna happens on the Terra ecosystem and the Terra ecosystem only. The arbitrage that we're seeing is between UST and other stable coins backed in Curve 3 pool, right? Or on exchanges. What you're seeing right now is people arbitraging it, right? Because there is this fear of UST losing the peg, when people are arbitraging it and starting to buy up UST, people are still unloading. And I don't think this is going to be something that recovers in one day, in 24-hour period, as we've seen so far. It's going to take a couple more days of this work, and we're going to see it raise and then dump and then raise and dump, a little bit of volatility that we haven't yet experienced, which is what's happening right now. And I think I'd be interested in seeing a situation where a lot of these stable coins, such as DAI, move to the Terra ecosystem. I think there is a little bit of lack in variety and choice. And because it's been held to such perfection, no one has thought to do that. I mean, people have thought to do that. We've actually spoken to projects who have wanted to do that, who have wanted to bring automatic market makers to the Terra ecosystem, which allow the transfer of stable coins, but we haven't seen it really being implemented. And I think now is the time where we're going to see that, where there needs to be a variety. There needs to be a situation where if you're on the Terra ecosystem and you're watching this whole system kind of take a hit, where you're not fearing that you're about to lose everything, because a lot of the liquidations that happen, I think over 2 billion, right? I know at a certain price point, I think at $44, it was 1.5 billion. So I'm guessing it's significantly more than that. But yeah, the arbitrage is happening. It's happening amongst traders themselves. I don't necessarily know whether Doquan has actually deployed much of the BTC outside of borrowing on top of it to then buy up. But even then, he also has to be aware that because so many people are fearful right now, that if he were to just buy it all up, it would just go back volatile because people would be using it as exit liquidity. So you have a situation where it's going to slowly return to its peg. And then after it does that, it's really going to take a lot more time for people to regain trust and to really feel that, you know, UST is the ultimate stablecoin. As we've seen over the last 24 hours, it has its flaws. And that is the reason why we need the variety. That is the reason why we need DAI. That is the reason why we need USDC. And that is the reason why we need Matt's favorite UST and USDT and all of the rest of them, is so that there is equal and fair competition. And so that there are choices where people don't have to be worried about one token dominating the entire landscape.
I'd like to add just to that. So Mihail, you're exactly correct. If there was, the reason the peg has not been brought back in line is because there's basically capital controls on the Luna to UST bridge. So there's only a certain amount of the arbitrage that can go through day to day. The idea is it's basically like a circuit breaker on a stock market. If people are panic exiting, like we had occur over the weekend, they put the brakes on the arbitrage mechanism, because if they didn't do that, one of two things would happen. Either the peg would return, or Luna would start hyperinflating. And if Luna starts hyperinflating, then it's game over. So this is why they put these capital controls for this exact scenario, basically to give a chance to people to calm down and not panic sell and, you know, wait for LFG or whatever to, back the peg up with their reserves. It's just basically to give more time. But you were exactly correct. If there was no limits on the capital, the peg would either be restored or Luna would hyperinflate.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that currently the PEC system or algo cannot work without a centralized party, which is the LFG in that case.
These are algorithms that are controlling it that were established by individuals. Eventually, everything is looking to be decentralized, but even in a DAO system where you have a fully, you know, autonomized organization, decentralized autonomized organization, there still needs to be a human element of control. I don't think we're at the stage, at the level where it can just be a free-for-all, because there are unexpected scenarios that you have to plan for. And one of these scenarios has happened this last weekend, will be the building blocks for the future to make sure that this doesn't happen again, so that it can be truly algorithmic at some point.
We had Alex from Swissborg on here previously, and he was sharing a little bit about their research. I posted the blog post, or one of the blog posts they did, on my Twitter feed if you want to go read it. But they explained essentially what the mechanisms are behind UST. And so you've got a few things built into the algorithm. So the idea is that somebody can redeem a dollar of UST for a dollar worth of Luna. Now, the algorithm automatically limits how much of that can be done in a given day. So this is the first thing. The second thing that happens that's really important that we haven't talked about here is that the larger transaction you do, the more slippage you get in that. So the way that it's set up, if you're just swapping a small amount of UST for a small amount of Luna, it'll be one for one. But according to the math that they said, if you try and swap eight figures of UST for Luna, you'll actually get an 18% slippage. Why this is significant is because it means that the arbitrage opportunity at scale is less. So in other words, big arbitragers aren't going to be able to come in and restabilize the peg when it's in a small difference. So we basically saw this yesterday, right? It dropped down to about 60 cents, and then it came back fairly quickly to now 90 cents. But on the other hand, that closing that last bit happens more slowly because it requires a lot of smaller transactions as opposed to large transactions, because of the slippage that happens when you try and do a large swap from UST to Luna. The concern, I think, that some people have brought up is the scenario under which something could go wrong and it couldn't return to peg, and there's, you know, you can dive into this multiple levels deep, but would be if the market cap of Luna is meaningfully below the market cap of UST. Now, in this particular case, as far as I understand, actually, they have in the treasury something like $4 billion in UST. So there's quite a margin of safety there. But hypothetically, if the market cap of Luna drops too low, I mean, you only have so much ability to redeem against Luna. And the more people are redeeming, as Hexanet was mentioning, the more you're creating selling pressure on Luna. And so hence the importance of doing it kind of slowly, as well as then the ecosystem as a whole, other projects are going to draw people into the Luna ecosystem, and that creates demand for the token. And then this in turn over time can allow it to rebalance. I don't know exactly what the math is on those volumes, but that's kind of the mechanisms of how it works.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. By the way, yeah, I pinned like the some tweet like the Exonaut also tweet like today, like his point of view like in about the situation. I've also pinned like again like this situation with like I would say that an argument from for other like stablecoin is the fact that like again today the U.S. Treasury Secretary Yellen have been like discussing like UST, like the UST, the peg as like a risk for the whole stablecoin. So what's happened with this experimentation that again is done with a more aggressive attitude respect again to the conservative approach that have generally maker on the market is that it put the whole industry right as a whole under discussion and more under scrutiny. But again, it is also part of the game. Not everyone have his own different approach in ways. So we can't really control it. But again, that's another major news that was happening today. Again, another major news that has been happening today, and this is another tweet that I pinned here, is the fact that it seems that Genesis Trading, that is one of the largest OTC trading desk worldwide, have been in touch with like Doc Juan on the 5th of May, like for a $1 billion swap OTC transaction for UST from UST to BTC. So again, it might be real, it might be fad, like we don't know. But so that's some of the things that that is happening. Again, then Doc Juan has been coming out with a plan to restore the peg. And another things that I would like to discuss, Exonaut, is the fact that again, like only recently LFG has came to creation. No, like 1 month ago, like there was not really like such a market making plan for UST, right? I mean, LFG has been created only recently. No, it was not on the market earlier, so they kind of establish it only when they see that there was potential risk, but since that before there was not this like they don't see the necessity, right? Instead, in Maker is already like by nature the whole structure of Maker is there to defend the peg and the whole project, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, they saw it, like exactly where all kind of stable coins end up is that you need collateralization. So they correctly made the right moves to start backing UST with a crypto asset. And I believe they actually had USDC as well backing it. The whole process is very opaque, so I don't know where their standing is with all this stuff, but it was a move in the right direction for sure. The problem was is that they just made the ecosystem grow so big that it was just undefendable at that point. Like the anchor 20% yield with the $500 million they were spending on basically paying for that yield, it was just too much. And it, like, this is the problem with algo stables. If they grow too fast, they become a victim of their own success. You need to basically continually defending that peg with more and more money until basically what happened yesterday occurs. And this is not the first time this has happened. This is, algo stables have been tried many, many times.
100% agree with you. Too big, too fast. A lot of cockiness from everyone on the Terra side, including myself, my team. It was just euphoria of it growing. And when you see that from an outside perspective, and I think I wouldn't even call them bad actors, but people who are interested in seeing and testing and stress testing, this was a big stress test. And that Luna Foundation guard, though they did have the safeguards in place, they haven't been there relatively long because it's been fairly new. We're going to see improvements over time. And whether the Genesis Capital thing that you mentioned, Matt, is true or not, we'll see. That will play itself out here in the coming days and weeks. But what it shows is that there isn't anything that's perfect yet, and it's better to have something happen like this now and then to build upon it while we're still relatively fresh than when it's happening in for instance, when the majority of retail is in the market and everyone's using crypto, and then everything, let's just say, goes to shit. Pardon my language, but this is gonna be interesting to see how it plays out, and I'm excited to be a part of this and to see what the future holds for the Terra ecosystem as well as UST and what changes must be made, because this isn't oh, we can still continue doing the same thing. The changes must be made, and it's nice to see a lot of us being humbled.
Maybe ask Hexanaut, and I mean anyone else who wants.
Well, I think there was some connection. By the way, a last minute news from the block is the fact that the Terra Luna Foundation is looking for $1 billion to shore up the peg. Like, is looking for $1 billion in funding again. Like, this is a breaking news from the block again. Might be true. Like, I always we in order to know the truth, we always need to wait a few days because there has been multiple times where like a news article has been fed or like not confirmed, but. That's another thing. Another thing that I want to discuss is Tron has been also, Tron and Near has been also other two major L1 that has been rushing the creation of their own Aigo stablecoin. Tron DAO, Tron Justin Sun has been also announced also today a partnership with Alameda as a official market maker, or they close a partnership. Like, the news is come from today, so like it will be interesting to see for everyone as a background. So the stablecoin of Tron of Justin Sun is already deployed in Binance Chain, for example, USDD, and you can have around 25% yield at the moment there. And the pool have around 50 million in deposit. So at the moment is already live the Tron stablecoin that is already again cross chain. So again, it's really live for a few days already. But it doesn't have a large market cap yet, but is already live. Again, I'm looking at CoinGecko now, and I see 250 million market cap, right? And I'm not sure about the Near stablecoin. Instead, if it's live, I think they were going to announce. Then they didn't yet. Maybe someone here knows. But so it's going to be also interesting again to see what's going to happen also to this other major L1 or player that are trying to do the same. And after seeing exactly, I mean, the timing when they decide to start it is also a bit hilarious. Yeah.
Well, I'll come in here and say, I believe in Terra, and I believe in Doquan, and those futters out there are going to get annihilated in the storm of truth.
Appreciate the preaching.
You're welcome. I enjoy preaching because I have no facts. I have no facts to back up anything I say, and I am, through the power of hopium, believing that my bags will not deteriorate, rot away, into nothingness that I can no longer use to fund my lifestyle or eat. Cannot eat crypto. You can especially cannot eat crypto when there are no profits. You can especially not eat crypto when there are losses. Actually, that's like negative eating. That's what happens. You have to start not only working at McDonald's, but in my case, I think you just got to stop eating.
We appreciate all the point of view. I mean, like we are here to, again, like we believe in a multitude of stablecoin. Again, the time will tell. Again, like we're not maximalist in specific stablecoin. We are maximalist in what will work, and we will know, right? Yeah, so again, we were mentioning about Tron and Near as a potential. How do you see like Exonaut? Like, do you see like just a hype ride from their side? Like, what's like the what's your take about it? And or like,
well, I see. You know, all these layer ones, they're going to be creating, or at least attempting to create, their own stable coins because it's a great business. It's a great marketing tool. It's a great business idea. If you have the right mechanisms in place, you can profit a lot from it, and it gives exposure. And more importantly, which every L1 is judged by, is TVL, right? So it increases your TVL. And what Anchor did as a mechanism was allow the inflation of the Terra TVL to rise drastically in quite a short amount of time. Now what we're seeing is a pullback to that drastic movement, and hopefully revert to the mean where we will continue steadily growing. I'm not here to be a maximalist. I still believe in the Terra ecosystem, and I will 100% support it, but I am looking forward to seeing all the other ecosystems such as Near, such as Tron, develop, because in the end, the more competition there is, that means that all of these stable coins have to improve. All of these ecosystems have to continuously have their foot on the gas. They can't just stop and say, you know what, we're doing the right thing and not build, not continue building. And when we're seeing DAI, for instance, move away from collateralizing from just crypto to other assets, that is a movement in the right direction. So I think, you know, as much as I'm trying to shift towards the positive here, this is only one way we can look towards it, and that's moving forward, what is going to change, and how this is going to affect the rest of the landscape.
One of the things I've been super happy about and seeing is the degree to which actually people are very supportive, and how people in the ecosystem actually, I think, came out really strong in favor of UST in the last 24 hours. I mean, there was a lot of fear going on leading into it, I think, and kind of as it happened. But reading over people's Twitters today, I definitely noticed a lot of people just coming out and saying, hey, I believe in it. I support it. I think it's great. And I think that really is a strong testament, not just to the community, but to the possibilities of the project going forward and this not being the end.
100%. I truly believe that the Terra ecosystem is the ecosystem is made by a lot of builders, and it's not only about UST, of course, 100%. What I'm from a security perspective, because we also do security audit. I mean, what we're a bit concerned about Terra is the fact that most of the smart contracts there are not open source, so it's not really possible to verify what's behind. So like you have unverified contract. I mean, I would remind also everyone that when you trade on OpenSea, so you have an unverified smart contract. So like, Maker, for example, we have here Maker as a from Hacknut from Maker, like all the smart contract of Maker are trustless, are on chain. You can, before depositing, you can verify it online on Etherscan. You can read the contract like, instead, most of the smart contracts on Terra, unfortunately, are still unverified. So, as a user, you don't know what's behind. I mean, the code is bytecoded. So you need to decompile it. And again, you need to be a developer to do it. So it's really like, again, you don't know what's behind. And again, this is not only about Terra, it's also regarding OpenSea. That's and that's why, again, a lot of user like is moved also to Luxray, right? Even if Luxray still can change the royalty, I mean, they can manipulate like the admin key can still. So yeah, again, I think one difference between Terra and the other EVM ecosystem is again this fact that again having the smart contract to be verified, because I think this is the first step on the trust, right? And that's why also the Web3 was built to a better solution respect to if we need to have like code, right? We can go back to the Web2 and to Meta and all of this stuff, right? But this is some. I know that Terra and again, this is also a problem of Solana, not only of Terra. It's moving forward into that. In the fact that their explorer, like meanwhile, like you deploy a smart contract, they are like forcing user to verify smart contract in order to provide like the code to be the code to be open source. But so that's another take, like from. We as a security expert that we have from the whole ecosystem, yeah.
I have a question to you guys, Michael and Matt. So since you know your ultimate goal is to be on multiple chains to be able to verify smart contracts, how does the situation, how it played out, does that affect your confidence in the Terra ecosystem? Is this something that you potentially saw as an issue in the past, and whether you plan to make any changes moving forward?
So, I mean, I've spoken with Dokwan for 3 minutes about our smart contract vulnerability scanner to move it to Terra, and he simply told me that it's not possible, right? Because until the ecosystem have until Terra have most of their project have closed source, you cannot do it, right? So again, at the moment we are focused on EVM chain, where the we can scan a smart contract, and it's not possible yet to be done in an immature ecosystem like Solana or Terra. So that's actually how it's going again. But again, we are seeing that this is improving. Again, if we look at the Solana ecosystem and Terra ecosystem like 1 year ago, there's much more project that now is open source in the code. So the ecosystem is maturing, yeah. So again, we're working on EVM chain about it, and we're going chain by chain, yeah. I mean.
So what about a chain, so for instance, like Evmos, which is both Cosmos and EVM? Is that something that you guys are looking?
We didn't look at it yet. So, but if EVM, I mean, on Avalanche, it works. So yeah, it should work. Yeah, for like the scanner is already working in more than 10 EVM chains. So again, it's already backtested in 10 chains. So I don't think there's gonna be an issue. But again, we didn't look at it yet, so I cannot reply to that question. Again, just as a background, so what we're talking about is a smart contract vulnerability scanner. So that what we're building is a scanner. So the big issue today of crypto is the fact that when you buy a token, like again, and that's actually the advantage and the narrative of Binance.com or crypto or Coinbase, is the fact that before any listing, Binance is auditing the token, right? So you cannot buy a scam on Binance.com. Meanwhile, in other chains like Phantom, Polygon, and many others, like when you buy a token in Uniswap or PancakeSwap, like you can buy a fake Shiba, fake SafeMoon, a fake copy of any token, a fake Maker, like because and so we are trying to solve that, like that before buying a token, we scan it with automatically with our smart contract vulnerability scanner, and we tell you what's the risk behind it. If it's a honeypot, so what is a honeypot? Is a It means that you can buy a token, but you cannot sell it. Again, we've been scanning, for example, all the smart contract of Binance chain that are like in Binance in BNB chain. Now there are more than 2.5 million token deployed, and yeah, like the result about how many like honeypot there are, like it's huge. So like for any inexperienced newbie that is buying a token in any DEX, you don't know what you are buying. Also, because MetaMask is not labeling, like you only have like such solution like token list where you have like if the token is in a specific list, but this is not like a solution where you can scan millions of smart contracts per second. So yeah, that's what we're trying to solve and provide it like for every user. Like just you log in our dashboard and we scan the whole portfolio instead of doing it right in like manually, because not everyone is a Solidity developer, right? So we need like a easy solution just where you connect and you have, we scan the whole portfolio in 1 second. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're building. And yeah, so that's again, following our approach, that's again, what we're also demanding from other chain like Solana and Terra and many other ecosystem, right? So again, we're gradually also going there and taking a look before going. Yeah. Yeah. Is there someone else that have some question for Exonaut for, or any question, please be free to request to be a speaker, and we will invite you.
I'll maybe just ask Hexanaut. I know he has to go, but this I think is an important topic broadly. Is kind of the perspective on, in light of Janet Yellen's comments about stablecoin regulation. You know, we have something like DAI and something like UST, which is not centrally controlled, as compared to stuff with like USDC and USDT, et cetera, that are centrally controlled. Any thoughts on the importance of that in the future and how it plays out for people building and what tokens people are going to choose to use?
Yeah, regulation, I mean, is always a concern in the whole space. I'm hopeful we can kind of come to arrangements with the powers that be. I think, you know, DeFi crypto is going to be a huge boon for the average person. And I truly believe that it will, like, benefit everybody in society once we sort of achieve the actual dream. So, I mean, the worst case scenario would be where regulators just completely ban it. Like, we don't want this at all. It would just be like constrained to sort of a niche product at that point. I don't like, I would much prefer to change the world with it. So, you know, I have no idea what's coming, but I would like to lean more towards working with regulators in not just the US, but various jurisdictions and sort of figure out a way forward together.
Do you foresee a situation with the CBDC playing a role within DAI?
I don't know. I can't really comment on that. I don't have a strong opinion.
Yeah, I think yeah, he's I think Maker is right. Is a DAO, so is a community oriented, and there's multiple participants in it, and everyone has different opinions. So yeah, I think we have as a speaker Imon Dyer. If you want to, please.
Yes, just in relation to the topic of UST and the proposed deal that's being put on the table. What are the inflow needs to keep the currency stable? Like, how many hundreds of millions of dollars of inflows do they need to make sure it keeps peg? Because the numbers at the minute they're talking about are something like $1 billion to $1.5 billion. But I've seen some threads that have suggested the inflows required would be a lot more. That's just my question.
I think the answer varies depending on how far off it is on the peg at any given moment, right? There's going to be people that are going to arbitrage it themselves, individuals who want to make some money off of this depegging event. So it's really hard to say.
Yeah, it basically needs to counteract the amount leaving Anchor. If it doesn't stay in the ecosystem, the UST needs to basically be swapped for another asset. So the curve pool and Binance and stuff for the main sources of exit liquidity. The arbitrage, exchange bridge between UST and Luna was another form of exit liquidity. All those are basically dried up right now. And there is a bunch of UST basically continuing to wait to exit. So what exactly that amount is, like, it's hard to say because it depends on what people, do they want to exit the Terra ecosystem or are they just wanting to hold UST? But my suspicion is that most of the anchor deposits are wanting to sort of exit in some form. So the numbers you're looking at is, yeah, billions, almost certainly.
Thanks.
It's kind of interesting, right? Because there's a sort of reaction that happens here, kind of like how, ironically, when prices of something go up, people think they should buy it more because, you know, it's somehow valuable. Whereas when the prices go down, they often think they should sell it, even though the opposite might be true. The fundamentals might not have changed. Similarly, I think when UST regains its peg, assuming it does, which we're hoping that it does, I think probably the demand to sell might go down because people feel like, okay, you know, it's back, it's safe. You know, it's that uncertainty that drives people to want to get out. And so right now we've just had this big crash down to 60 cents and then it's come back. And so a lot of people feel like, oh, maybe I should sell out and take my losses rather than go down to 60 cents again. But you may find that that pressure alleviates when we get back to a dollar.
Yeah, that's another interesting psychology on the investing on it. And the problem also of crypto, yeah, is the fact that like in 2018 we had like the ICO boom and then like a kind of new generation of investor and like most of the builders like of DeFi has started in this period like and then in the bear market of 2019. And the problem is that with this new wave of NFT, right? I mean, we have seen also the most of the blue chip collection of NFT in the last 24 hours have lost like an average of like 25%. So there was clearly like panic selling from this perspective. I mean, some collection also up to 50%, like Azuki or other. So the problem is that the average, if somebody have already experienced on the 2018, right, then they do better decision than all the new retailers that has been joining on with the NFT wave. Like they don't have this experience, and like in the last 48 hours they really experience what means like diversification investing and not joining on the hype and risk management and so on. So yeah, it's a great talk. Yeah, this perspective. Yeah, I would like all the listeners to follow Exonaut on Twitter. Like he has really great thought about the whole situation. I would really invite everyone also to follow like David and Michael, and I thanks everybody to be here, and I will be glad to have another session really soon, like another Twitter space. I think it has been really thoughtful, and everyone will be learning something new today.
Yeah, thanks so much. This was fun.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate everyone.
Absolutely.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was about the last half hour or so of Will UST Survive? Hosted by DeFi Yield App. Recorded on Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin, I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics. Stretching out the distance, for instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funding the business. Betting on the difference, ingesting all the research. Sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension, something to endear myself a little bit, something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling abominable with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground sore. And I'll be coming.
coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terra Spaces.